The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, 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 and welcome to episode 107 of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box.
And Shay from the K-Way. And on this podcast, we love hanging out with you guys, talking through the hottest K-news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between.
Yes, so if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. And let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started.
Yes, so our very first segment, per usual, is Hot Topics, aka BBC Shanice, where we're going to give you a rundown of the hottest K news that's come up over the past week or so. So Shanice, spill the tea.
Yes, so it's been reported that Amazon Prime will be producing a documentary film. I don't know why I said film like that. Documentary film about Lee So-man, the king of K-pop. That's what it's going to be titled. There hasn't been a release date as of yet, but sounds interesting. There hasn't been any synopsis or whatever, but I guess it's going to be around him and how he built SM, I guess. So be on the lookout for that. Just thought it was interesting.
I actually might watch that.
What did you say?
I said I think I might actually watch that.
Yeah, it sounds
would be interesting.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I wonder who's going to produce it as well, because that's what would depend on the narrative. Like, is it going to be like an in-house thing? Is it a foreign person coming in? Then it might lose some context, depending if they don't research properly.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like it'll be interesting. Obviously, we don't know specifically what sort of angle and lens they're going to take, but. Yeah, I've always wondered what goes on inside these two men's brains. So
yeah, and like how it all started. Like, do you know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Like, what made him want to have 100 members in a group eventually?
Oh my gosh! But yes, can keep a lookout on that. The big story of last week, as we know or may not know, Hyuna and Dawn have parted ways. So Hyuna announced the news on her Instagram, saying that the two have decided to stay good friends and companions, and thanked fans for supporting them. Dawn also shared a brief post on his Instagram addressing the breakup between him and Hyuna, stating that Hyuna is still precious to him and he loves Hyuna as an artist. Dawn also asked people not to waste their precious time, I guess, spreading malicious things, and to spend it on better things. Dawn also plans to take legal action against any individuals who spread false information. So I've seen a lot of fan peeps sliding down walls and crying.
Yeah.
I've seen people say that
they don't believe in love anymore.
Oh my gosh, so dramatic.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of saw this coming. You know what? I might do a cheeky video about this because, I kind of saw this coming and I didn't really like the fact, I didn't really like how P Nation marketed them. I feel like it didn't have that much of an effect on Hyuna, as Hyuna was already established. But you have to bear in mind, Dawn was new at the time when he parted ways with Pentagon and Cube. And Pentagon was only gaining traction as soon as he left, basically. So people didn't really get to see or know what kind of artist Dawn
is. Like, he was in his own right.
Yeah, and then when he was I can't have like 10 million thoughts happening in my head at once, but when he was able to, you know, release music, or the way that it was marketed to me, it was kind of like, and this is Dawn, Hyuna's boyfriend. It was kind of hard. They didn't really make him market him like as a standalone person. So what I just worry about is now, in terms of if he still wants to pursue music or if he wants to be signed to another company, like how would that affect him? And I also have seen loads of people saying, you know, maybe, obviously we don't know what the back end was with P Nation, but maybe it would have been a smarter music decision for Dawn to stay with P Nation and kind of gain traction that way. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm not going to lie, I never followed them very closely.
Mm.
Obviously, you can't escape Hyuna. If you know K-pop, you know Hyuna.
Basically.
That's that. But I do agree that even though I was aware that Dawn like used to do a lot of producing in Pentagon, like he was talented in his own right, it did very much, they were very much sold as like a package.
Yeah.
And like he was the plus one because their overall umbrellaing aesthetic, dare I say, it might just be his style as well by chance, but it was very much so Hyuna and like she has this cool boyfriend that fits into that as well. Not like, oh, they have very different things and they're also coming together and you see that.
Mm.
It was kind of like, how would you describe it? Like kind of Willy Wonka situation and he kind of just fits into that. But from what I know, I think he has quite a dedicated fan base. So I hope he does get the right support going forward and fans still support and cheer for him. Depending on what he wants to do. I don't know, he might continue to... I don't think a breakup is going to make him stop making music.
But what I mean is, when I said that, in the sense of, I don't know if he left P Nation or if they both left P Nation because they don't want to do music anymore or he wants to go down a different route. But as you said, I think it's just not down to the marketing. Again, I'm not discrediting his talent, but I just don't think he had enough time to shine by himself. And I guess he wasn't given... And again, this is going off, we don't know him. So as you said, it could be, you know, he just likes similar style to Hyuna, which is fine. But there wasn't like a unique colour to him, if that makes sense. It was just kind of like, if Hyuna was like Rosie, he's Jim, Rosie and Jim.
I think I get what you mean, because even for Hyuna, obviously she's been in the game for longer, but we've seen like solo Hyuna, Hyuna in a duo, Hyuna in a group, like we've seen everything, but we've seen her exclusively by herself as well.
Yes.
Whereas Dawn came out of a group and then he was, well, still while he was in the group, but there was that like three member group, what was it called? Triple H.
Yeah.
And then like, even though technically he was a solo artist, it was still like him and Hyuna.
Yeah.
So maybe there are fans and he has like solo projects that we just don't know about because we haven't gone that deep into it, which is great. But just from a generic outside view, it's always been him and something else. So if you told me to describe Dawn, I'd probably describe his latest aesthetic, which is very much so him and Hyuna. So yeah, it would be nice. If that already exists, please do politely make us aware of that. Don't try and kill us. but as far as I know, I haven't really seen him by himself. Yeah.
But, you know, it's still early days, so.
Yes.
This will be like a great time to, maybe not straight away, but he can reinvent himself and just try things, do something different, introduce us to who Dawn is.
Exactly.
Because even though we had that song that he's Diddy Dawn, I still don't know who you are, like respectfully, artistically, without, and again, this is no disrespect to Hyuna or what they had, but with that Hyuna shadow, but it's kind of hard. If anyone was with Hyuna, you weren't established beforehand, you're kind of going to be sucked in by the bigger known person or personality. So,
But I feel like this is terrible to say, and I know we're going to move on. I feel like there are companies right now with trainees like in the basement, like, this is why we tell you not to date. You're going to chuck your whole future away if it doesn't work.
Yeah, they probably might use this as a horror story, but.
Oh, God.
You know what? I think I might make a video about this because there's other things I want to say, but I don't want to spend 12 hours on Hyuna and Dawn. So be on the lookout for that coming to you next year.
To a theatre near you.
Coming to you in 2025. I don't know. You know how I am with these things. Anyway, moving on. Short and last stories. So comeback news. So Super M is meant to make a comeback soon, next year. I don't know if this comeback will include Lucas or not. That's another great area. I wouldn't hold my breath. Lucas, where are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, give us a sign.
Yeah, please. And also, YG Entertainment shares that nothing has been confirmed as yet, but there are rumors that Taeyang's meant to make a comeback as well.
I think I saw this, yeah.
So. But it's not been confirmed. That's a maybe. I saw something about, I think Wavy was meant to come back, but it was pushed back or something like that. I don't know if this, again, has to do with the whole Lucas situation or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, these are comebacks, question mark, because nothing's really been confirmed or denied. But something to look forward to in the new year, I guess. So yeah, short and sweet this week, that is. Hot topics, hot, hot topics. Yeah. If there's any stories you want us to comment on, or if you want to make sure you hit us up on socials at @HallyuAtYou. Okay, moving on to our next segment called Say What, where you send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot tea questions, etc. You can send that all to howyut@gmail.com. That's howyut@gmail.com. Or you can submit a form at kpopbox.co.uk/howyuatyou. So Shay, take it away.
Okay, so this seems like a 2-in-1 unpopular opinion. So this person's cheating, but
cheater.
Our very first unpopular opinion for today is Soyeon doesn't deserve to be called the best rapper in K-pop, and I think that that new dating show Ramyeon and Chill further pushes the narrative that foreigners just want to sleep around.
Okay.
Okay. So the first part, this like the main rapper in G-Idol, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know anyone that's calling her the best rapper in K-pop. I'm just throwing it out there. I've personally never seen that.
G-Idol, are they third gen or fourth gen?
Oh, child, don't do this to me. I think they're probably
fourth. They feel third. Oh, maybe.
But beginning.
Okay.
I don't know, actually. I think they debuted at that weird crossover, so they might be technically 3.5 or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not technically three, because three would be like your EXOs, your BTSs, but then it's such a large span, they could have just catched the end of Gen 3.
Because
isn't technically Stray Kids Gen 3? See,
I would probably say I feel like Stray Kids are but Stray Kids also feel very Gen 4 to me, and I know
that's what I'm saying. It's probably like that weird crossover, so they're probably like 3.5.
Okay.
Because then I feel like G-Idol doesn't feel like 4, but they don't feel like 3.
So. Like, I wouldn't think that, oh, like, yeah, G-Idol, who else is there? NMIX.
Yeah, like that, that just sounds crazy to me. So I think they're 3.5.
Let's stick with that. That feels good. And she doesn't deserve to be called the best rapper. I actually have not listened to a lot of G-Idol stuff outside of the stuff that goes like viral on TikTok. I think
she's a great producer. Some of the raps I've personally heard is very questionable. But I think that's just down to my taste. But I'm just personally saying, and this is no disrespect to Soyeon and her talents, I've never heard someone just be like, you know what, she's the best rapper in K-pop. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I can't really.
Maybe like one of the best in terms of maybe female rappers. I like in her generation. Mm-hmm. But K-pop in general, when you have Flippin, L.E. and all these other people before her, I'm going to have to say no. Yeah, but I've never seen that. That's not like a common opinion that I've seen, that people saying, yeah, she's the best rapper. I've heard loads of people praise her producing skills and stuff like that, and how she may write for certain members because they say things in certain ways.
Yeah, I don't know if that she said it a few times, but there was one video I saw when she was like, when she thinks about writing or producing a song, like she will give certain members certain parts and make it flow with their style, which I think is great. She's the leader of their group, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, I have no idea. I think so. It sounds really. It gives leader vibes. So if she's not, then
And she seems to have great stage presence from like videos.
Yeah, I feel like she's a great performer, and but I wouldn't call her the best rapper in K-pop.
But once again, if you have any evidence that supports your claims, please bring it to the stand. And the second part of this person's unpopular opinion was, and I think the new K-dating show Ramyeon and Chill further pushes the narrative that foreigners just want to sleep around.
I'm not gonna lie, I've never watched this show. I've only seen clips. And why is that narrative just pushed on foreigners? Because aren't they Koreans in the show too?
I think that I've watched some of the show.
Okay.
And I think the premise of the show that has rubbed some people the wrong way, instead of it being like an international open K-dating show where there's like some foreigners and some Koreans and they just sort of happen to be there, it's like five Korean guys and five foreigner girls. And the premise of this show is, it's kind of like Love Island, but with more clothes. I don't think you win money at the end, but the premise is basically like, get to know people. There are these challenges that make people have to get intimate. Like they play like the Pepero game and stuff. And then the winners of challenges, say a girl wins, she can then select a guy to go to like the Ramyeon and Chill room with her, or vice versa. So it is very much, the premise and the theme is very much kind of surrounding sleeping around. It isn't like, not sleeping around, but if the bedroom is
sexually
the goal.
Suggestive.
Yeah, that. Exactly. So do I think it's the best show ever? Not particularly. I kind of watched it out of curiosity to understand the angle that it was took, because a lot of people were speculating that it was just going to be like very Korea Boo-esque and just these girls that are trying to have cute mixed babies, which I don't really get that sense from
the contestants.
What I've seen so far. Yeah. I feel like you should maybe watch, or I can suggest a part that you might want to watch, because there was this discussion that was risen, and there's this girl, she, I would like to say she's maybe half black, half white, I think, if I remember correctly. You can tell she's mixed, and I believe she's French.
Megan.
No, Megan's one of like the commentator people, but one of the actual contestants.
Oh, okay.
And she had this like whole dilemma, and she's like, outside of this show I get like a lot of attention, guys tend to approach me and that sort of thing, but on the show she didn't feel as though many guys were wanting to talk to her or anyone was interested in her, which is a fair point. I think it's a fair observation, but she kind of made it about her race, and she was like, oh, maybe it's because like I'm half black and stuff, and I'm obviously not Korean. But then the issue that some people had was that one of the most popular girls on the show, I believe her name is Bella, most of the guys have like been interested in her, gone on dates with her, and she's gotten quite a bit of attention. So some people kind of thought that that argument, context, was invalid. But the wider conversation that could be had, I don't think it was a relevant point for her to bring up to back up her situation. But the wider point that was then brought to the table to be a discussion was that, do Korean guys typically go for either Korean girls or white girls? So this discussion was being had. So on the first day, there was a challenge where people were in pairs, and there was some of the girls' items like hairbrushes, lip gloss laid out on the table, and the guys had to go up, pick one, whoever that item belonged to, they were paired up with that girl for the challenge. And so this girl in question was paired up with this guy named Dan.
Is this the mixed girl, by the way?
Yes, the mixed girl. And she was paired up with this guy, I think he's Korean-American, his name's Dan. They won the game, and he got to say to her, do you want to come to the Ramyeon and Chill room with me? She turned him down. Then a few days later, she brought up this point that none of the guys are interested in her, with him and another guy. And he said, oh, on the first night, I asked, like, do you want to come with me? And I kind of showed interest, but he wasn't interested to go against her point that no one's interested in her. And then she brought the point to the table that Korean guys typically just go for, like, Korean girls or
white girls
or other Asian girls and stuff. And she gave the example that one of the girls there, I believe she is Chinese. She might not be. I'm sorry if I'm not giving her the right ethnicity, but a lot of the guys have shown interest in that girl. When she then brought this point up about a lot of Korean guys either liking Korean girls or white girls, the guys were like, oh no, I don't think that's right, and I think that's wrong. And some of the commentators on the show were saying, like, that's not really true as well, I've never experienced that. But there's been like a wider conversation online where a lot of people are agreeing, not with the point she brought up in that exact context and in that situation, but that that is the reality for some people, that Korean guys typically go for white girls or Korean girls in Korea and stuff, and other foreigners tend to have a hard time. So I think it's brought up interesting conversations. Would I say it's the best show ever? No. Do I think it somewhat pushes some narratives of, oh, like foreigners are just wanting to have a good time kind of thing? Yes.
So, well, I don't know what you expect from a show called Ramen and Chill. I guess in terms of like the wider conversation, I kind of see where that's coming from. But I think, and again, this is like a sweeping generalization, I know there's nuances and each person is different. I think from experience in terms of not necessarily me, right? but like people I know personally, there might be this Korean guy and he really likes this like black girl. He generally likes her and loves her, whatever the case may be. But when it comes down to be serious, more serious in the terms of maybe, because obviously Korea is quite conservative, so marriage, meet the parents, that's when it gets a bit sticky. And I think dating, and again, it's still hard for, I think it will still be hard for certain Asian demographics as well, because then there's a whole argument, oh, Filipinos are too dark. Like, there's a whole colorism issue as well. So I think sometimes Korean men will then go after another Korean girl, or it's easier, and again, sweeping statement, it may be easier if they are in love with a white girl, because again, the whole colorism aspect, and it's not looked that down upon. Again, each person is different. So I wouldn't say, sometimes I feel like some men may get into more serious relationships with either like Koreans or white women, because that's just easier for their parents to accept. But that doesn't necessarily mean, and again, this is not all cases, but doesn't necessarily mean that's where that person's heart is, if that makes sense. Because I, girl, I've heard and seen some things where certain people are married and they're still doing foolishness because they're not really in love with the person they marry, but it looks good on paper. It looks good family dynamic-wise, but yeah. So I feel like it's kind of hard to unpack. But yeah. I get it.
So a lot of people are like, in that context, her point wasn't valid. Not saying that she should have been hurt or felt some type of way, but one of the most popular girls on the show, isn't like, because she's doing it, it'll work for you too, but one of the most popular girls on the show is darker than her and fully black as far as I know. I don't remember where she's from, maybe like Senegal or something like that. I'm sorry, I keep just assigning countries to people and it might be wrong. But I think it's interesting to observe from an outsider's perspective with some knowledge. Would I say it's a great show? Questionable. I know a few people also not upset with her, but weren't fully happy with Megan Moon's comments on the subject, because when the point was brought up, and I'm not quoting exactly, but something of the nature, like Megan was like, oh, I've never experienced that here. Like, she shouldn't just make it about her race. But some people are arguing that Megan is obviously quite fair and, dare I say, white passing to some extent. So her experience and perspective might be slightly different. So it sparked a few interesting conversations, which is great. And I do, unfortunately, think it has pushed this narrative, because if the premise of the show was there are guys and there are girls, it's set in Korea, some of the guys are obviously going to be Korean and maybe like two foreigner guys and some girls that are Korean and a few foreigner girls, it would make it feel like less of, oh my gosh, like all these girls are trying to just like grab a Korean man rather than the notion of,
well, oh, like, actually a love premise, because it's called something. Ramen and Chill.
So I don't know, maybe we're asking for too much and the show is just giving what it's meant to give. But And then on to our next unpopular opinion. This person said, I don't like the fact that a lot of idols that have had racism scandals get off scot-free and really don't have to apologize.
You know when you have like 5,000 thoughts in your head at once? I think some idols not get away with it, but they are able to, I guess, move forward is how it's handled sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I've seen some scandals that have been handled horribly in a sense of that particular idol gets defensive or they're trying to tell you, I'm actually appreciating what do you know, but it's like, it's my culture and I don't really want you to parade it like that. And they're like, well, go cry about it, basically. Mm. So, and then in a couple months' time or whatever, it's like nothing's really happened. But I don't know, I think it's because maybe it's mainly international peeps that hold these idols accountable. I don't really think certain companies care. Because in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot of people that will make a lot of noise about certain things. Again, still valid. Everyone has, people have a valid point. But because it's not affecting money, companies just like, this will blow over.
I agree. I think there's like different things that happen. Like you said, there are the ones that just stay silent and wait it out. There are the ones that give very basic apologies and then are repeat offenders. There are the ones that, dare I say, use it as just like their polarizing era. It's like, oh my gosh, like this person's kind of being like scandalous in this area. It gets them a bunch of attention and they don't change.
Mm.
I think it's definitely what you said in terms of we're not that affected by it. We'll wait it out and people will move on. I think the sort of scenario that annoys me the most is the one where fans are like, oh, like they just don't know. And like, he didn't mean it like that. And that kind of ties into the babying culture and fandoms in general. I don't think this just happens in K-pop or Hallyu, but sometimes fans have this like, I don't know if maternal is the right word to use, but this like kind of, oh, like I need to cradle them. Like they didn't mean it like that. Like these are grown adults. They have access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They know right from wrong. I'm not saying you're going to know everything. I could say something that might offend someone and it's just through my ignorance. Mm-hmm. But I then have the opportunity to educate myself. Or if there's a wider institute around me, you would expect more.
Yeah.
So I think apologies are great if they're going to be sincere. I would rather you not apologize if it isn't going to be sincere and you know you don't really care and you're going to do the same thing later. I don't think empty apologies are great. There are definitely, and I think people, idols and groups and artists and stuff get penalized differently depending on how big they are. And if it's like a girl or a guy, I've seen an array of different reactions from fans. Like some people literally get canceled off the face of the earth. And then there are some people that it's like, oh, like, no, he made that mistake, like, back in his early days, and, like, he didn't mean it, and they've moved on. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Not that's nice.
And then on to our last unpopular opinion. This one is hilarious. This person said, I think K-dramas hire bad foreign actors on purpose. Hee, hee, hee.
I think we spoke about this before.
Probably.
I don't think they hire bad... Okay, in some instances, yes. But I feel like sometimes it takes a skill to act that bad. And I feel like half the time these foreign actors are just following direction. I feel like they may deliver the line naturally how it's meant to come out. Like, for example, if I'm meant to be a British girl and I'm talking to Shay, who's a Korean character, and I'm like, come on, Shay, let's go. And I'm like, no, I'm not really feeling the energy. Can you do XYZ? And now I'm like, come on, Shay, let's go. And now it's like, why? Why are you saying it like that? But it's because I was told to. I think that's on purpose. The direction is on purpose.
Yeah. But I've also seen some dramas where you just feel like the people aren't trained. Once again, if you're a good actor, you could, I guess, act bad. But I've seen like foreign actors that are looking into camera, that are acting crazy in the background of shots, that aren't going the right direction. So I don't know if it's on purpose to make foreigners look bad. It might just be cost effective. It might just be a friend of a friend.
Yeah, that's also what I was saying.
And they're free, yeah.
Maybe it was like there was a change in the script and it's like, oh, do you know what would make this scene better? Let's have this person from New York. And then, I don't know, they see this, I don't know, see Trisha walking outside and she's like, I'm not even American. I'm German. Yeah, just put on an American accent. It'll sound great. It'll look great. No one would know. And they're like, okay, I'll do it for a few one. And it comes out like that. So
maybe we'll have to try and find someone. I really want to ask this question directly. Like, do you know how to act or are you a victim? What's going on? Yeah, on this topic really quickly, how do you feel about the idea of people that want K-dramas to be more inclusive in terms of featuring lead characters of other races? Do you think it's necessary? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Because I've seen a few conversations.
I feel like it needs to make sense to the story. Like, if you're just going to have some random, I don't know, black person, I don't know, it can't just fall forced. And I feel like people are forgetting that, yes, Korea does have a mix of people, but in the grand scheme of things, not really. What I would like to see more of is maybe, I'd like to see more mixed actors. More mixed actors in those leads, because what about those stories? That would be like an interesting story. Like, I don't know, a mixed Korean, black Korean girl, she falls in love with a chaebol, the whole, like, no, but it'd be good because I don't think, like, they have tackled things like race, but even though it's like, I'm Korean, like, do you know what I mean? Like, little nuanced things.
But I know what you're saying, and, like, for representation and stuff, but that storyline idea that you've just proposed, I'm already scared and traumatized. Regular dramas are bad. If you add that an evil stepmom can now be somewhat racist, I'm going to bed. But no, I get what you mean. I think we definitely should see more mixed stories and stories that, like, they're a diverse nation. Like, there are mixes from everywhere. So I guess mixed people growing up as well would appreciate that representation and that imagery. I think at the end of the day, any country that kind of has, like, a homogenous society, their content is going to be to serve their domestic audience first. And just because something blows up or becomes popular, I don't think like 10 different seasons need to be chucked in. Sure, like, yes, there's more people consuming the content, maybe more mixed stories or stories that go abroad can be told and things like that, but I don't think it's fully necessary. Like, if we think of Nollywood dramas, for example, if it suddenly blew up in China, are people now going to start demanding that random Chinese characters be put into these stories that are telling very domestic on the ground stories? Not saying that there aren't Chinese people in Nigeria, but do you just start pleasing this extended audience when your main audience is the one that you sort of need to please first? Yeah, I guess that's you guys can share your thoughts and feelings on that as well. And today we have a dilemma. So Shanice, if you would like to read it for us.
Hey guys, absolutely love the pod. So I really wanted some advice on something that I've been struggling with for some time. So for some context, I am Korean-American, and throughout middle school and some of high school, I was really badly and brutally bullied for being Asian. And over the years, with the recent popularity and attention around K-pop, K-dramas and Korea in general, a lot of the people that used to bully me now want to be my friend. I, at first, was really angry and frustrated by this, but then I realized that I would experience a lot less hassle if I was friends with popular people and played into this newfound acceptance of Korea. I know this isn't great, and a lot of the time it makes me feel really uncomfortable. Do you guys think I made the right decision to hang out with these people despite their previous actions? Is this person still in school, I'm guessing, then?
They said some of high school, so they might still be in high school, I guess. Because it seems like an environment where they're sort of still in proximity to these people.
I personally wouldn't be, like, I'll be cordial with people. Like, I wouldn't purposely go out my way to make enemies of people. you know, you could have the odd ha ha ho ho there, but I wouldn't let them be my friend, because this is, even though you're not being brutally bullied, like, it kind of seems like they're using you as some sort of accessory, like, oh, look at this cool new shiny toy.
Mm.
So if for whatever reason, I can't see it happening, but just say in a couple years time the whole K-pop phase kind of, you know, dwindles out, then what? Are they just going to go back to bullying you? Like, if they couldn't appreciate the person you are without all this fanfare, then I don't think they deserve you to be a friend. Again, you could be cool, have the hot odd haha hee hee, but keep them at an arm's length. That's what I would do. Yeah. And you don't feel comfortable around these people anyway. You said they make you feel uncomfortable. So, yeah, I'll keep them at arm's length, if anything.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with forgiving people if they're, like, genuinely trying to make amends and they've reflected on their actions and you're comfortable with that whole situation. But by the sounds of it, even this current situation and phase that you're in with these people, it does seem like there's a time, like a ticking time bomb on it. Not saying that like K-pop's just a phase or Hallyu's a phase and it will fizzle out, but say tomorrow it isn't as crazed by people or as celebrated, they're probably going to chuck you away again. And I think sometimes it might be hard, because I know in school, like when you're in close proximity to people, it's just like convenient, or you might not have very many other options. And I know it can be hard to sort of just separate yourself, especially when you've felt, I'm assuming, isolated and picked on before. But I think it has to get to a point where you respect yourself, because you deserve to be treated right. You deserve friends that genuinely like and celebrate you, not just because of a recent acceptance of your culture and pop culture. I think that's wrong. And especially if you still have these feelings of like being upset or frustrated and uncomfortable, I don't think that's going to work. And if these people also don't respect you, I don't even want to imagine like maybe some of the ignorant comments they're making or some of the things that they're using you for. So I personally would start to distance myself. I'm not saying like go to school tomorrow if you're in school and say like, I'm not hanging out with you guys anymore, but maybe try to see if there are other friendship groups that you can start to get involved in, or join a club and try to assimilate elsewhere if you're really worried about losing that social interaction as well. But yeah, this doesn't seem fair to you, and it doesn't seem like it will end well either.
Yeah, it just seems like they use me, to be honest.
But well, sorry to hear this. That's horrible.
Yeah, that is horrible.
Yes, that's all we have time for today. So we're going to be moving on to the radar. But remember, if you guys have any unpopular opinions, stories, dilemmas, or requests that you want us to discuss on the pod, you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/Hallyu@you, or you can send them to us on socials. So now it's time for On the Radar, which is where me and Shanice let you know if there's anything we're listening to, watching, or anything we want to put you guys onto. So Shanice, what's on your radar?
Ciao. On this radar, there's nothing radaring. I think it's just coming that time of year where I just feel like everything's kind of dry. Everything's kind of wrapping up. Yeah, I don't think I have anything exciting on my radar.
What's on my radar? Against my will, I am a victim. Football. I don't even like football.
Oh, actually, you're right. Go on, say what you're going to say, then I'll say what I was going to say.
That's basically the tweet. Football, I know the inside drama. I know that Ghana was making fun of Korea and it was like BTS back to Seoul. But then obviously Ghana got kicked out. Like Ronaldo had beef with that new boy craze Korean football player or something. I know all the tea and I don't want to know the tea.
That just reminded me of, you know what? No, I'm not going to say it because I'm going to bait myself out.
Why?
I'll tell you afterwards today, but it was about football and I would, nothing. Sorry, guys. That's what we have time for. No. Thank you for listening to How You At You.
And remember, you can send us any of your unpopular opinions, stories, or requests to hallyutea@gmail.com. Submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/hallyuatyou, or you can send them directly to us on socials. And please feel free to rate this podcast wherever you're listening to us. Leave a review, let us know what you want to see more of so we can keep doing this.
Yes. I've been Shanice from K-Pop Box. You could follow me at kpopbox_ on most things.
And I've been Shay from the K-Way. You can follow me at the K-Way official on most platforms. And I might be there.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
And until next time, we will
holla at you.
Bye.